Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa nasibu ve bay Hazreti Cemal Mesihullah sahab rahmetullahi aleyh. One of the people that were graduating around the time, he asked Hazreti, show us how do we engage in dini khidmat at home. Father pondered for a moment and then he said, kya dini khidmat, iman ke upar lale par rahe, iski fikr kar. We're talking of great things about serving deen, and your iman is in danger, work on that. We know there is a thing like priority. You save yourself first and then you save others. When there is a situation of danger, then what is to be done at the time? It's problem, danger, something that is frightening, what do you do at the time? In wealth, we know it very well. We apply it without even asking. But we use it for ourselves first. And whatever is the surplus, then we use for others. So the same law applies to iman as well. Guard yourself. Look at your faults. Look at your weaknesses, your flaws. And the day we begin to think that now I am free of faults, then that's the most frightening thing. I don't have any faults now. And I am beyond correction. That's the most frightening thing. But as long as we think, no, I still need to correct myself, there's a lot of room, a lot of scope for correction, then you're on course. And the moment you feel, no, I'm free, I don't need anything now, that's a very frightening thing. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Mawlana Abraul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, week or 2 weeks before he could pass away, so my one friend, Mawlana Rahmatullah Sahab, was on his way to Umrah. So since Mawlana's madrasa comes somewhat near his route, so he said, let me go and pay him a visit, since it's coming near the route that I'm taking. So he visited Mawlana. And this was just about a week or 2 weeks before Mawlana could pass away. Notwithstanding the fact that around that time, he was about the most senior Buzurg that was looked upon. All the others had passed on, and he was the single living Buzurg. So he expressed to him that this is my safar, I'm going on Umrah, and came to take your du'as. And if there's anything that I should be making dua, then let me know. I'm going to the center of dua where duas are answered. And if there's anything that I can make dua for, then I'm gladly, readily, ready to do it. So Mawlana's advice at that time, now about a week or 2 weeks, at the time that he was crowned about the best, about the greatest at that time, his dua was that make dua that my islah is complete. That I am correct, I become correct. I reform myself, I correct myself. Now that was just about a week or 2 weeks before he could pass away. And what a great impression it leaves on us that when a person of that level, and he still feels that there is a room for his correction, his improvement, then where it leaves us. So at no time do we feel, now enough is enough, I've done enough now, let me carry on. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that for a person who's got fikr, he's got some concern, and he comes with concern, with fikr, right? Then his islah is done very simply, because he's concerned about it. He knows that I need to correct myself, I need to improve. And before I touch the grave, I must bring about correction, improvement to myself. So this is his concern. He's concerned about the day that he's going to meet Allah Ta'ala. He's anticipating, he's afraid of the day, he's concerned. So he says that the person that's got that concern, then his islah and his correction is done very easily, very simply. And he will take an example, he will take a lesson from anything and everything. But that is provided he's got that type of a heart, that type of a mind. I'm concerned about it. I'm worried about it. What's going to happen to me? They asked one Buzurg that you say you take a lesson from everything. Then do you take a lesson from a swine as well? You know, when people talk, sometimes they stretch things to the extreme, right to the last. So if they stretch someone, they'll pull him right to the last. So he knew what he was talking about and said, yes, I have taken a lesson from a swine as well. Normally, it's about the most vilest animal that you can think about, right? But he says, no, I've taken a lesson from this as well. So what was the level of concern? That concern, that figure, that I must be on cause. This figure, and this concern, I had explained once earlier, that it's like the railway track. See? As long as the person is on the track, then there is progress, there is movement, and there is safety. But imagine the train has jumped off the track. Is there any movement? Is there any progress? Is there any security? So this fikr and this concern is like you are on track. So inshallah, if there is that fikr, that concern, then there's going to be progress, there's going to be safety, and there's going to be movement. Outwardly it seems that the person is constricted just to that narrow space. I can take off now. So that came for Sunnah Etikaf, as though it seems now you're constricted. Restricted, you're constricted, you can't move, right? But in the restriction is your progress. Like the train, when you see it from the outside, you say, you know, that thing is totally restricted, it can't move, can't go, can't hop to the right, can't hop to the left, keep just to the track. So much of restriction. But just allow the thing to jump out of the track for 1 second, ask you any progress, any movement, gone. So this is that concern. That concern brings about the progress, though outwardly it seems that you're restricted, you moved, you're tied, now you can't move this side, you can't move that side. But in that restriction is your progress. So this restriction is like that figure. The figure is new all the time. Until that figure should remain till when? Till which point? Till you touch Jannat. You touch Jannat, then be fikr. One person wanted to speak to Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, and like, how it is, you know? How are you? How's this? And it happens in Etikaf, and when you get together, we need to pass the time. So we talk about related and unrelated things, just to see that the time is passed. Not realizing that time is getting past. So when you, in this moment, in the month of Ramadan, in every second, every moment, is very, very precious. For these senior ranking ulama, Busukhanadin, in every second of this, they take it very serious. They don't want 1 second of this to be lost, because they know what it is, what it will translate into thereafter, they know. But until our eyes are not open, we don't realize is getting into a discussion, and we can very comfortably postpone the discussion for later on, but now we'll prefer doing it now. Can postpone it for a later moment, but now it's come up, so we're going to discuss it. Just because now we, in these 10 days, there's nothing much to do, so let's discuss something. And to kosher the thing, let's let it be a dini discussion. So the idea is to get into a discussion, but you have to get into a dini framework. See? So as though you have to squeeze deen for this, right? The right thing is what, you know, I want to do dini work, I want to do the right thing, right? And how must I do the right thing? But here is no, I want to have the discussion, but let it be within the framework of deen. So let me push that deen, let me squeeze it, see? So that's dangerous. Now this happens, unfortunately, to most of us, when we don't realize the value of time. In Banaras also, Abul Qasim Sahib spoke about the same thing. Time, value of time. Another Sheikh Rahmatullahi used to advise people that would come around that you can eat as much as you want and sleep as much as you want. Obviously, him being the host, then he can't tell you that, you know, eat less. The host can't tell you that. So he says, you may eat as much as you want and you may rest as much as you want, but don't talk. That's all. Just focus, be focused. You've come for a cause, so be focused. But don't get engaged in any discussion. I used to think at some point, why is this? Don't talk. Because the moment you get into a discussion, then you lose the focus. The same thing Hazrat Hamza used to speak about, that you come here, sukoon or sukoot ke saath. You come and you want to benefit. See, what I'm talking about, for those that want to benefit, came to benefit. Everything else aside, but we really want to gain something out of this whole thing. We're spending 10 days, so let's take something from the whole thing. And let's take something that's meaningful. What is, you'll take something, but in drips and traps you took. But you want to take something really great. Came for something, and you want something really great. You know, someone is buying a cow, right? And you buy the cow for the milk, right? So that's the real thing that you are desirous of. But in the cow, you want to get some dung as well. In India and Eastern countries, they use the dung as fuel, right? So you will not say that you're buying the cow for the dung, you don't say that. Although it's an additional benefit, but you don't, that's not the purpose. So those that come in, they are going to take some benefit, but then they're not taking the real thing, the actual thing. What are you supposed to be taking? What are you supposed to be getting? So the idea here is, what are you supposed to be getting and how you get there? So that we know, all right, after the end of this 10 days, Allah Ta'ala willing, right, then we are taking something going back. We've invested right, and we have planned right, we have looked at the thing right, so inshallah, the result that's going to come out also should be right. When you look at it rightly, then the result that should come out will be right. But if we didn't plan it and arrange it right, and we want it to come out right, then obviously it's not going to come out right. Because we didn't arrange it and we didn't plan it correctly. We want the slab to come right, right? Or we want a column to come right. But we're not using the right type of mixture, right type of steel, right? And we're not letting it mature for that amount of time. I ask you, what will happen? That is not going to come out right. It won't be able to support the slab that is above it. So Allah has created the world with some procedures, right? Some procedures. Follow the procedure and you come right. But if someone wants it to happen without procedures, then this is not in the design of Allah Ta'ala. He's created it, and He's created it with a design, with a plan, with a procedure. Follow the procedure, you come to the right results. Right? You want your child to have come out with good results at the end of the year. So you put him into a cause, and you see that he's working diligently, he's consistent, his work, his homework, etc. By the will of Allah Ta'ala, at the end he's coming out right. But if he's not doing all that, and then you are aspirous of a good result at the end, then it's just a sweet dream. Nothing more than a sweet dream. So, what is required here is we plan properly, correctly, arrange properly. And we arrange properly, then inshallah, you come to the right end. Whatever you've been looking for, you come to the right end afterwards. So, the whole thing here, the thing that is required is this sukut and sukun. Sukut and sukun refers to remain silent. Unless it's important, obviously. But otherwise, other than that, just remain. So, the moment you're going to be talking, then that whole attention of yours is going to be drifting away. Then to come back onto the course is going to take time. Like imagine the train has jumped out from the track. To bring it back, you have to bring a crane or something perhaps and bring it back onto the track. So it's going to take some time. So much of time you have wasted. But the easy way is by, it doesn't concern me, it doesn't relate to me for my present moment. It doesn't relate to the present, so leave it now. What relates to me and what concerns me for this moment, let me work on that. That I will work on later on. So one is silence. As I said, the Shaykh Ramtari, to be very strict on this. But eat as you want, and you may rest as you want. But by baate na karo, don't talk. In fact, you should get upset. Upset, there was a valid reason for him getting upset. You know, you spend so much and you took out so much of valuable time, and then I must see you going empty-handed. How must I feel? That's what his cry. That's what's the grief, that you took out the time. It was valuable time that you took out. You spent so much, you sacrificed, and then at the end I don't see you going with some results. And obviously, it's hurtful. So that used to be hurting him. So he knows now, you follow the procedure, inshallah, you'll come to an end. So one was sukut, you should say, sukut, remain silent. And sukun means, then even the mind, don't let it deliberately wander around. Oh, what I'm going to wear for Eid, and have I bought my Eid kurta, dafa kurta, and what about my child, now what's going to happen to him, and where are we going to read our Eid namaz, and whose family Eid is going to be, and what are we going to be taking for the Eid if the dawat is at someone else's place? What are we going to be doing there? So all that, it's going to destroy the calmness of the mind. So the tongue needs to be in control, and the mind needs to be in control. If there is that concern, now before Maghrib can start, just jot everything, alright, I need to get all these things here, and assign the duties to whoever, and then just focus on the work. Then don't let your mind be interrupted. Don't let it be disrupted. Calm. Full calmness. I have come for a cause. And it's a great thing. You're coming for i'tikaf. And the whole idea is you want a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala, a special connection. And Allah Ta'ala means everything to us. Not the most. It means everything to us. To say most, no, it's not right. He means everything to us. When he means everything to us, then you want him, then it's a price you have to pay for. Right? Your wife means much to you, so you give her an undivided attention, right? Yet she's not everything to you. You still have to earn, you still have to sustain her, take care of her, all that, then everything comes in place. But Allah Ta'ala, he's everything to us. He's everything to us. When he's everything to us, then as though he's saying, you give me yourself, then I'll give you. You want a special relationship, you want that connection, you want that special contact, right? And you want to give me your divided attention, a little bit me, a little bit someone else, and the second person, and the third person, and then you want me to give you that special attention. No. It's a pipe dream then. Then it's not realistic, you're not practical. You want something very special. You want something extremely special, very precious. And give me that type of attention, you will get it. I will grant it to you. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُ. Allah Ta'ala has got treasures of everything, got stocks of everything. But then to take from his treasures, there's a way, there's a procedure. Follow the procedure, you'll be able to draw from his treasure. But you don't half-hearted, inattentive, and then you want that type of result. So he would say, sukut and sukun. And the second thing that he would say that is required, one is sukut and sukun. These Busuganadin have spent their whole lives in connecting people to Allah Ta'ala. Whole life, that was the whole aim, to connect people that are not connected and to connect them. That was the whole concern, that was the mission of their life. Right? So they've seen the ups and the downs of this way, they've seen the beginning and the end of this way, the whole way they've seen, the whole way, how it works, how it operates. So they've seen the whole path they've seen. So it will be our fortune, we just draw from them. Just take from them the idea they gave, the plan they gave. Then just draw from them. Why must we go and experiment something again, start it off? It will take us another 50 years to go and experiment the thing. Then we come on track. Yeah, the man experimented the whole thing. He saw the whole thing, how it starts, how it ends. What is the requirement? How do you progress in this thing here? Now you want that special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Then how do you progress? So he says that the condition for progress, condition, one is the conditions of living. How are you going to live? Sukut and sukun, right? That's the condition of living. And the condition for progress, how do you progress? Like namaz also has got certain conditions, right? You apply those conditions, your namaz is valid, right? Provided you apply the conditions. You don't apply the condition, is your namaz valid? You're facing in a different direction. Right? Namaz not valid. Right? Similarly, if you're making namaz without wuzu. So the same here, again, it's got conditions. The conditions for living. And number two, the conditions for progressing. So what are the conditions for your progress? One is the condition of your living. And number two is the condition for your progress. How do you progress? So he says, dhun or dhyan. It's not just living, but dhun or dhyan. Now, the closest translation, dhun or dhyan, one is, this must be an obsession. I came for a certain purpose, and this is my obsession. It's not just a casual stay, a recluse, taking a break from your work. No, no, it's not that. I come with this is an obsession. I came for this. I'm obsessed. That's a dhun. Suppose cheese ka dhun laga hua hai. He's obsessed with it. He may be eating, he may be drinking and sleeping, but there's an obsession that he's come with. It's not just a break, an annual leave, or a recluse, or something else. No, he came with an obsession. He came. Dhun. And the second thing he says, with that dhun is dhyan. What will help you getting that obsession is that focus. So you come with an obsession and with a focused mind. Now you come with a focused mind and obsession, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, at least you'll get to know something. I don't say it's a guarantee that you will end, you will come up with the results, no. Because, like I said, Allah Ta'ala is everything to us. So that will require us to give up everything to him. When he's everything to us, then we have to give everything to him. Then you can say, no, all right, I have to give him my time, my mind, my wealth, my strength, my energy. I have to give him everything. Then too, if I get something, I'm lucky. Then too, it's not something that I can say that I'm eligible to. Because Allah Ta'ala gives unconditionally. It's not because of you or your striving. It is grace that gives it to you. But generally, when you do this, you apply the formula, then it is his mercy, he grants it. Though it is his grace that will grant it to you at the end, it is not your working and your strive, but he wants you to strive. He wants you to work. Right. So, dun and dhyan. Dun will refer to an obsession, and dhyan a focused mind. I came for a certain thing, came for Allah Ta'ala. I want this special connection. And I have enough of baggages of the past. I forget all the baggages, forget the past now. Now I need to turn a new leaf, a good life now. I need to turn something, I need to do something in my life. What do I do? How do I start it off? How do I get it working? So an obsession with a deep focus. Right? Not that you're not going to eat, you'll eat, you'll drink, you'll do everything, but you came for a certain purpose. Like imagine, your company has sent you to China to do some shopping, right? They need the thing, and they have sent you, right? And it's just for 4 days that they have sent you. So now you know that you're coming in, and you have to be focused, absolutely focused. Otherwise, the trust and the confidence that the company holds you in, they will lose the confidence. I send you for the work. So your night is concerned about that they send me for a thing. They've spent so much on me. They've given me a first-class ticket, right? They've booked me in a first-class hotel, right? They spent so much on me. And they send me this for 4 days. So they want some results from me. So I'm coming in with an obsession. I can't go sightseeing, see what's here, what's the furniture, what's the architecture, or what this looks like, what that looks like. No. I've come, they've spent so much on me, and I have to show them their money's worth. I have to give them the money's worth. So you're focused. You're focused because you know what it means to the company and what it will mean to your future. So by the same token, then I say, everything is Allah Ta'ala's. He's everything to us. So you need to give him back everything. Your time, your energy, your focus, your attention, make it like an obsession. Then you see I will reward you. But like I say, it's just a start. Because it's just 10 days from your great, your treasure of lives. Someone is 50, 60, 65, 70. Right? So from your treasure of life, it's just 10 days. It's just an opening. It just gives you a taste, you know. A little bit of a taste. If you do it, it's a taste you've got. You've acquired the taste and you have to buy into it afterwards. That 10 days is just to acquire a taste, learn the taste. And you can't say, I've got it now. You just got the taste. Provided you did it in this manner, you just got the taste. Then you have to work for it. So we were talking about that Buzurg, you know. He says, I've learned from everything. So I asked him, from the swine as well. Yeah, I've learned from the swine as well. Shocking, the vilest animal, dirtiest, filthiest animal. And you say you learned something from the swine? Yes, I learned from the swine as well. So then what did you learn? The thing I'd learned from those that have lived in India for some time, they will know that the swine, right, then it goes for its fodder early in the morning, just around Fajr, before Fajr, right? His seri is about 5:20, then he'll go see it looking for fodder at about 4 o'clock. Now why? Because in the villages, generally people go and relieve themselves in the open, right? Now these toilets and all that, but previously they used to be using the open felt to go and relieve themselves, right? So that thing's fodder, it's food. It goes to look out for its food around that time when it's just freshly coming out. Just coming out fresh, and this animal is going to look out for its fodder right at that time. So I learned this lesson from this animal, that this animal can, for its fodder, it can wake up so early it can wake up, and then I, human being, Hazrat-e Insan, with that magnanimous mentality, intelligence and understanding, I must be lower than the swine. That thing has got that brain, that this food of mine, I'll get it around that time. So it'll break its sleep, it'll go searching for it at that time. So I thought to myself, I can't be lower than this animal. If that thing can get up just for this dirt and filth around that time of the morning, then no, I can't be as low as that animal. I need to be one better than that thing, and I must get up even earlier. So this is the second lesson that we learn, that if we program ourselves correctly, work ourselves correctly, then those accepted and beautiful moments we can appreciate. Beautiful moments, moments of acceptance. That is provided you are programming yourself. But if there's no program, there's no tartib, there's no system, sleeping how you want, and getting up how you want, but there's no program, no program. So then can you expect this type of results? But you program yourself, no, I need to get up at this time. I must get it. So you made all the arrangements, you slept on time, you got up on time, inshallah, then you'll get the results also, because you put everything in line. When everything is in line, then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, you're getting up on time, and who knows, you may just strike that lucky moment. They say, har raat ko ek bulawat hoti hai, jo jagat hai, wo paawat hai, jo sovat hai, wo khovat hai. It's a Hindi saying, right? every night, there is a call. Har raat ko ek bulawat hoti hai, jo jagat hai, wo paawat hai, jo sovat hai, wo khovat hai. Every night, there is a call. And what is the essence of that call? Who gets up, he finds that special moment, where Allah Ta'ala is coming right to the heavenly, right to the lowest heaven. And he calls out, is there anybody, any takers for anything? He's calling actually, as though Allah Ta'ala has come to your door, and he's knocking at your door and asking you, are there any takers? Do you want anything? And then you say, Allah, I keep you on hold now. Just wait now. A few more wings I need to have. Because I didn't sleep rightly, and I'm keeping you on hold. How rude it looks. Allah Pak is calling, and then we're keeping Allah Pak on hold. It required a little bit of adjustment to our lives, our sleeping patterns, etc. And then at the right time, when he's calling out, we are there to answer him. Allah Pak, I want it. We're showing that there's a need. Like I said, they said that the person has got a concern that he'll take the lesson from the vilest of things, the lowest of things. He'll take a lesson. But that's provided he's got a genuine concern. Right. So he says that there's a call, there's an announcement made every day. But the one that is awake, he finds it. But the one that is asleep, he loses out. The sleeper loses out. And the one that gets up, he gets it. So this is the second thing that we should be looking for, right? Programming ourselves, and then those beautiful moments of acceptance, that moments we need to be very, very vigilant about it, that, you know, I don't know. One moment, maybe puri zindagi ban jayegi, my whole life will be. Baba will just accept me for the whole life. He may just work out the problems of myself, my children, the present and the future, everything may just work out. The whole house will just come out right. Everybody's concern is myself, my wife, my children, my future. You don't know that one second and you struck right and everything just worked out for you. Who knows that you get the right second, you get the right moment and everything just worked out. So he's saying to you that there is an announcement. And every night there's an announcement. But you get up, you'll get it. And you remain asleep, then you lose out. So this comes about when you are vigilant, you are concerned about the time. This applies for Ramadan also, and out of Ramadan as well. Out of Ramadan as well, like I said many a times, that we are feasting and partying. So can't we have our feasting and partying before Isha? Going to do it after Isha, just for the few scraps of meat, and brine and whatever. But then, sometimes the Fajr is going, the Tahajjud is definitely going, the Fajr is done half asleep, the morning recitation, Inna Qur'an al-Fajri kana mashhuda, you lose out on the recitation of the Qur'an Sharif, the time that is recommended by the Qur'an. Inna Qur'an al-Fajr, at that time you're supposed to be reading the Qur'an Sharif, and then you are too tired to be reciting. You say your Fajr namaz, hit the bed again. The time that you're supposed to be for the Qur'an Sharif. So all these things here, you can just do it for me. That means for out of Ramadan. Even Ramadan, alhamdulillah, we have prepared ourselves for it. But even after Ramadan, we know that this is a precious time, a valuable moment. How must I take to the maximum? Allah grant us tawfiq.